There's a store here in Clarksville up on Wilma Rudolph called At Home. Maybe you've been in that. The ladies are smiling right now. Yes, I've been there. I love that place. A lot of nice home furnishings in that store. And whoever came up with the name of that store, I think was pretty smart. They used a word that most of us, or many people, hold very dear to them, the word home. Just hearing that word puts emotions in us that are usually kind and caring and warm and loving. And I think it's pretty smart advertising move there to use the word home. We've never been to heaven. We read about it in Scripture. We've never been there. So, what would be the incentive or the motivation to go there? We're going to see this morning that the Holy Spirit used a word that He knew would be dear to us, the word home. I think that's interesting. He knows that we've never been there. He knows that it's not a place that we're returning to. We're going to be going to it for the very first time. He uses a word that is going to make us think dearly about that place. He uses the word home. This morning, I want us to talk about Paul's statement, and we'll get to that in just a moment, in 2 Corinthians, if you'd like to be turning over there, where Paul talks about being at home with the Lord. I want to encourage us this morning to keep living the faithful Christian life and to become a Christian if you need to do that. Put on Christ in baptism. Live faithfully thereafter so that we can go and be at home. I understand that in the world today, not everything is right. There are homes where there is abuse and neglect. I understand that. And as more and more people leave God out of their lives and the Bible and all things that are good and spiritual and religious, I realize that there are more problems in marriage. We were talking about that this morning in the teen class, the high rate of divorce. Broken homes, abuse and neglect, both physical abuse, physical neglect, and emotional abuse and neglect. There are homes that are what we describe as broken and dysfunctional, and that's nothing new. We see those even in the Word of God. There are Bible homes that weren't what they were supposed to be. And I realize that there are a lot of homes today where God is not there. It seems like atheism and agnosticism and skepticism and unbelief of some form or fashion is prevalent today in many places. We're becoming more of a secular society and world, pushing God, kicking God out of our life. Of course, we're reaping the fruits of that. And we're seeing even in the past 20 years statistics showing where the home is not even going to be existent in many places. More and more people are choosing not to marry, and those who are choosing to marry are choosing not to have children. I saw a recent statistic where in 50 years there may not be enough people in the United States to pay into Social Security and things like that because our numbers, our population is actually decreasing. We're not getting married and we're not having children. And there are a number of factors for that that we won't talk about this morning. But so in a lot of cases, we're finding more and more non-existent homes. It's just not going to be there. And so because of this societal background, any person, whether we come from a broken home or not, any person can read their Bible and read about a place called heaven, and it's described as home. And hopefully they would be motivated to want to go there. And that might be a talking point that we could use with regard to personal evangelism. When we're talking with people about the Word of God, we might be talking with someone at school or at work that has this broken home type background, and an incentive for them to would be, hey, do you know that you can go be in a real home? Those in our society then who come from a bad home life, they can have a better home in heaven. And it may be, those of us here this morning, maybe we were raised in a good home environment. I was, maybe you were. But even we can go to a better place in heaven. The passage that Eric read this morning in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, that's a passage where Solomon is talking, giving a description of death, and there's various physical indications that we're all getting older and we're going to approach that time when we die. And so starting in verse 2, our eyesight goes and other things like that. You can't chew as well with your teeth, verse 4. But look at verse 5. When death comes, man goeth to his everlasting home, and the mourners go about the streets. I think Solomon there is not necessarily talking about heaven. He's talking about when we die, we're going to go to a place that's going to be everlasting. And our home is either going to be in heaven or in hell. It's going to be an everlasting home. Our body is going to be put in the grave. Verse 7, the dust will return to the earth. Our spirit will return to God who gave it. And we're going to be in an everlasting home. Where will that be for you or for me? Turn with me now to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Where in the New Testament we read about a home. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if you go back a few verses starting in verse 7, he's been talking about the work of the apostles. It goes back even earlier in chapter 4 and chapter 3 and all the way back to the beginning of the book, various activities of the apostles. And starting in chapter 4 and verse 7, he's been talking about the difficult life of the apostles, the persecution and the suffering that they've had to go through as they preach the Word of God. And we come down to chapter 4 and verse 16, Paul says, wherefore we faint not, but though our outward man is decaying, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is for the moment, worketh for us more and more exceedingly an eternal weight of glory. For we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The things which are seen are the physical things of this life that include the suffering and the persecution that they had to go through. But Paul said, I don't keep my mind focused on just the things of this life that we can see. I try to keep my mind focused on the things which are not seen. And he's going to describe those then in chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. Some things that are not seen. Some things that have to do with the afterlife, after we die. So we have to keep our eyes on the goal. We have to keep our eyes on heaven and not be bogged down by the outward man and the decay of the outward man and the persecution and the suffering. We have to stay focused on heaven. So look at chapter 5 and verse 1. For we know that if the earthly house of our tabernacle be dissolved, that's our physical body that's going to die one day. If we know that the earthly house of our tabernacle be dissolved, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For verily in this we groan, longing to be clothed upon with our habitation, which is from heaven. Our earthly body is going to die, but God is going to give us a heavenly body. That's also described in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 toward the end of the chapter. Verse 3, if so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For indeed, we that are in this tabernacle, that's the physical body that we have now, do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but that we would be clothed upon, that what is mortal may be swallowed up of life. Now he that wrought us for this very thing is God, who gave us the earnest of the Spirit, being therefore always of good courage, and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are of good courage, I say, and are willing rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. And that's our lesson this morning. To be at home with the Lord in this new heavenly body. Wherefore also we make it our aim, whether at home or absent, to be well pleasing unto Him. For we must all be made manifest before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to that which he has done, whether it be good or bad. Twice, Paul says in this text, we are of good courage. Even though they were going through persecution, Paul says we are of good courage. Why? Because of that incentive, that motivation to go and be at home with the Lord. This morning I want us to consider heaven as our home. I want us to think about the concept of home this morning and relate that to heaven to be a motivation for us to become a Christian and remain faithful, regardless of the things that may be going on in our life right now. Every one of us has different things that are going on in their lives. We don't know what is going on in everybody's life. Struggles, trials, good things, bad things, whatever. Like the apostles, to be at home with the Lord was Paul's motivation, and it kept him going. We all need an incentive or a motivation. When we go out and buy something, we usually look for some sort of incentive or motivation to buy that, especially if it's a big item like a vehicle or a house. If we're making a job change, we want some sort of motivation or incentive to do that. A life change, getting married, having children, big things in life, we need some sort of an incentive or motivation to go after that. And I can't think of any better incentive and motivation than to be at home with the Lord. So let's look at the concept of home this morning. What is home? Well, first of all, home is where our family and friends are. You typically don't open up your front door and just let anybody come in there any time of the day. People that come into your home are typically friends and family. Otherwise, you keep it locked. Why do you do that? Because home is a different. Home is different from work. Home is different from school. It's different from going to the grocery store. Home is special. Home is different. And so it's a place where friends and family are. I want us to consider that we want to go to heaven because that's where our friends and family are going to be. You'll get to go to a place where you can be around those who are family, spiritual family and spiritual friends. You remember in Luke chapter 10 and verse 20, when Jesus sent out the 70 and they come back rejoicing, He said, "Rejoice that your names are written in heaven." There is a heavenly roll of names. Is your name on that roll? Is my name on that roll? And consider who we can be with. Paul talks about the household of the faith in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. God's house, Ephesians 2:19, and Turn with me to 2 Peter 3:13. In the New Revised Standard, which I don't consult a lot, I thought it was interesting in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 13, but according to this promise, we look for a new heavens and a new earth where righteousness is at home. We're going to a place, brethren, if we'll remain faithful, where the righteous are at home together. I want you to think about who is there. Again, home is a place for close relatives and friends and family. Heaven is where God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit are, and you can go and be with your favorite faithful Bible character, whether it's Abraham of the Old Testament or the Apostle Paul of the New Testament. Whoever comes to your mind, that's who you get to go and be with. And what an incentive that should be. Typically in our home, we don't walk through the door and there's fussing and fighting and we're at odds and there's a bunch of strangers there, and you walk in your bedroom and there's two strangers sleeping in your bed and like, what is it? It's people of like mind, of a like precious faith, Paul says. That's what home is. And that's what heaven is. Let us live in such a way that we can go and be there. Home, just the word itself, generates in us a positive feeling, and that's what heaven should do for us. So the next time we go through those problems and those issues and those things that we're going through, just keep our mind on, I'm going home. I'm going home to where friends and family are. And I'm not going to stand before you this morning and talk about what we're going to be doing there with Abraham and Paul. That happens a lot at funerals. The preacher, for some reason, feels like he has to stray from Scripture and starts embellishing stuff, and it makes for a great service, but it's not based upon truth. And so I'm not going to tell you, Phil, that you're going to be golfing in heaven. I'm not going to do that. Miss Thelma, I'm not going to tell you that you're going to be fishing in heaven. And those of you with your hobbies and things, I'm not going to tell you that you're going to be doing that, because the Scripture doesn't talk about that. It makes for an interesting funeral service, but it's not based on truth. I will tell you this. You're going to go and be with the righteous of all time. And we're told in the book of Revelation that we'll be singing around the throne, we'll be serving God. But I'm not going to make up stories about what you're going to be doing in heaven. That's not our incentive. That's not our motivation. Golf and boating and whatever, hiking in the mountains and whatever somebody's hobby is. That's not our incentive. Our incentive is home, to be at home with the Lord, Paul says. Home is where our possessions are. We typically don't load up our car. You go out after services, you don't get in your car and all of your furniture's in there. Your furniture's at home. You don't have all your clothes piled up in the back seat. Your clothes are at home. Our possessions typically are at home. And that's what heaven should be. In Matthew chapter 5, turn with me there in the Sermon on the Mount, a couple of passages of Scripture. Jesus talks about, great is your reward in heaven. We're going to live in such a way that this earth is not our home. We're just passing through. And we have a reward in heaven. And in chapter 6, in verse 20, we're not going to lay up treasures on this earth. We're going to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. Our possession, our greater possession, is that of heaven. And so the things of this life, we have the homes and the automobiles and the clothes and physical things. They're just simply to get us through. We're just passing through. We're not going to idolize these things. We're not going to make them gods. We're not going to bow down to them. We're not going to miss services for physical things. We're not going to focus on the physical. Our possessions are heavenly in nature. Because that's where our home is. The rich young ruler did not understand this in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 21. Go sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven. Treasure in heaven. When I obey Jesus, that is treasuring up in heaven. No, I got to hold on. I'll be greedily hold on to my things. I don't want to follow the Lord. And he was the one that came to Jesus in the first place and said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He had a great attitude. He didn't like the answer. He didn't want treasures in heaven. He wanted his treasures when he went back to his house. And so many people are caught up in the physical things of this life. You'll see it if they lose some physical thing. Boy, it's just the end of the world. Some people have quit the Lord for that. Some people have left the Lord because they've lost physical possessions. But home is where our possessions are. And if that's heaven, then that's where our spiritual possessions need to be. And so the things of this life, they should pale in comparison. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. There were Christians in the first century that actually had their possessions taken from them. But what was their attitude toward that? Did they lose heart? No. For you both had compassion on them that were in bonds, imprisonment, and took joyfully the spoiling of your possessions. Took joyfully. That would be hard to do. Someone takes away your physical things, then you're fine with that. I know a lot of people, maybe ourselves, we would be mad, we would be upset, some might quit. The text says you took joyfully the spoiling of your possessions. Well, what helped them to get through that? Knowing that you have for yourselves a better possession, an abiding one. You can never take heaven away from me. You can take my stuff, but you can never take heaven away from me. And so these Christians continued being faithful. We have an inheritance. Incorruptible, undefiled, and reserved in heaven. Physical inheritances are physical in nature, and you can't take it with you. Our home is in heaven, and so that's where our possessions are going to be. Home is where we live and spend our time. There are some have been described as workaholics, and even they realize that they need to be at home more. Typically, we want to get out of work and get home. We don't want to spend our whole day at work. We don't want to spend our whole day at school. That's something that we need to do to make it through life and to earn an income. But we want to get home where we can really live and enjoy spending our time. That should be heaven. That's where we want to go and live and spend eternity. And that's why Paul talks about this eternal in the heavens, 2 Corinthians 5, verses 1 through 8. And he talks about in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20 that our citizenship is in heaven whence we wait for a Savior. And Paul talks about an eternal kingdom in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 18. That's where we want to go and live and spend our time. We know that it's important to do our work. But work is not home. School is not home. And even when we're on vacation and we're enjoying a period of relaxation, we want to get back home. I got to get back home. I want us to be thinking about that, brethren, with regard to heaven. That's where we want to live and spend our time. We're just passing through. We're sojourners. We're pilgrims. This is temporary in nature. And so I'm going to keep the big picture in mind as I get up each day and I face the different things that I face. I'm going to keep the big picture in mind, and that is my heavenly home. That's where I want to go to be with my spiritual family. That's where I want to go to be with my eternal possessions. That's where I want to go to live and spend my time. So whatever I've got to do that, I'm going to do that. Home is where we go to rest after work. We typically don't get off work and then say, well, I'm going to go to another job. And then when I get off work there, I'm going to go to another job. And I'm just going to keep going to work. I want a period of work and then I want to go home. And that should be our attitude toward heaven. That in the Lord's church, we're going to work hard now. And we studied last Sunday night about the importance of building the Lord's house. God's people had neglected. They were working on their own houses and they had neglected the temple. We've got to be busy, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And we need to work hard. And we might think, well, the Lord's work is not that hard. Well, maybe it's because we're not doing it or doing enough of it or doing it right. If we're doing enough of the Lord's work and we're doing it the way that He authorizes it, it's going to be hard work. But when you work hard, there's going to be a time where you can go home and rest. Sometimes attending faithfully takes some work. We might have to put a little extra into it. And reading our Bible regularly and talking with other people about the gospel, that takes some work. And teaching Bible class, volunteering for Bible class. Let me encourage you to do that. We've got a new quarter coming up. Talk with Daniel after the service if you can help in some way. That takes some work. To prepare and teach and all of those things. And I appreciate our teachers who do that. It takes some work. Raising children takes some work. It does. And staying married and being faithful to each other takes some work. And being an honest Christian and sexually pure young people. Sometimes that means saying no, and that takes some work. But you know what? When you get done with all the work, you get to rest. Because that's what home is all about. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 7. When I was growing up and we were young, we wanted to rest before working. Remember that? Dad would send us outside, usually working in the garden or something. Boys, get out there and pull those weeds. Okay, we'd all go out. About 15 minutes later, he'd come out. We were throwing dirt clods at each other and throwing rocks at each other and beating each other with a hoe handle or something. He'd say, boys, y'all are goofing off. You need to get to work. You work first. And then you can take a break. Okay, Dad. No, it's work and then rest. And so if we will do the work of being a faithful Christian, and some days are harder than others, there's going to come a time, chapter 7 and verse 15, when you can be before the throne of God and they serve Him day and night in His temple, and that He that sitteth on the throne shall spread His tabernacle over them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun strike them upon them, nor any heat, for the Lamb that is in the midst of the throne shall be their shepherd and shall guide them unto fountains of waters of life, and God shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. And we're familiar with chapter 14 and verse 13, that they will rest. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. That means dying as a faithful Christian. From henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their works follow with them. There's going to be a period of rest. Work hard. Others around you may not be doing it. That's their business. But you work hard, and you'll be rewarded with a period of rest. The same in chapter 22 and verse 3. Home is where we go to rest after a long day's work. A long day of hard work. That's where you go. You go home. And a lifelong work in the Lord's kingdom will be rewarded with a period of rest in heaven. Home is where we're loved. You know, you can be in a school environment and be some young people can just be flat out mean. It's terrible. You can be in a work environment and some coworkers are just flat out mean. They're just terrible. Neighbors. You can just be getting gas somewhere and somebody be mean to you. But when we go to heaven, that's where you go to be loved. Home is where you're loved. Turn with me to John chapter 14 and verse 23. There's a beautiful statement here by Jesus. And this should be an incentive for somebody who maybe was raised in a home life where they weren't loved. There are people who aren't loved growing up. There are people who are not wanted. That's unfortunate. There are people who are not loved. That's unfortunate. But if they will become a Christian and live faithfully, they can go, they can have a family. They can have a home where they're loved. And it'll be for all eternity. John 14 and verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my word. We talked about that recently in another lesson. A simple reason why we obey is it shows our love. If a man love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. Look at this. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. And some versions say, we will make our home with him. Where God loves us and Jesus loves us. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 21, verses 3 and 4. Do you want to go to a place where you'll be loved? Heaven is that place. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth are passed away, and the sea is no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. I heard a great voice out of the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he shall, the New Revised Standard says, he shall be at home with them, and they shall be his people. At home with God. What a beautiful thought. Where you'll be loved. Where I'll be loved. Home is where our thoughts are. I think all of us would raise our hand if I said, do you ever think about home while you're at work or at school? We'd all probably raise our hand. Yeah, man. You're like, I want to go. That's where I get my home-cooked meal. That's where I go to sit in my recliner and watch the news or whatever. Our thoughts, if we'll be honest, are about home. Go on vacation, you're thinking about, I got to get home. Go to work, go to school. What's going on at home? It's where our thoughts are. And as a Christian, as we go through this life, each day our thoughts need to be about our home, heaven. It helps us to get through the day. It helps us to avoid sin. It helps us to avoid temptation and problems. You might recall in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 2 that we read earlier, Paul says, for verily in this we groan, look at this, longing to be clothed upon with our habitation which is from heaven. It's our longing. It's what we're thinking about. That hope of heaven is what is given to us in the gospel, Colossians 1:5. And we set our minds on things that are above, Colossians 3:1. That's what our thoughts are on. Let me encourage us each day to have thoughts throughout the day about heaven, about our home. That's where our thoughts should be. And you'll find that we will be purer. We will be more hardworking. We will be more loving and caring and all things that Christians are to be, because our thoughts are always about heaven throughout the day. We're going to walk in a heavenly way in this life. Our minds are set on things that are above each and every day. It'll help us in our relationships, in marriage, in parenting, and with our brethren. If we approach a person, and before approaching them, heaven. Okay? What would heaven want me to do? You see? It'll change us.
It'll make us a better person.
Our thoughts are always about our home. And our home is where our Father is. Turn with me to John 14, verses 1 through 3. I'm glad that we have a heavenly Father, that we can go home and be with Him. To see Him face to face, that is one of my favorite songs. I think we sang that last Sunday. One of my favorite songs, Face to Face with Christ my Savior. Face to face with Jesus, face to face with our Heavenly Father. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I come again and will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And of course, the Holy Spirit will be there and our Heavenly Father will be there. He has a mansion prepared for us. We sing that in our song books. Let's live in such a way that we can go be with Him. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11, and we'll close with this point. Abraham understood this heavenly home. And I want to close with some lessons from his life to encourage us to keep moving toward our heavenly home. The Holy Spirit used the word home in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 8 to encourage us to go to heaven. We've never been there, but He used the word home to get us to thinking about that place where we want to be. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 8, I want to start reading there. We're going to read about Abraham who left his earthly home, but he kept his eyes on that heavenly city where he could be. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8, the text says, by faith Abraham, when he was called, obeyed to go out unto a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out not knowing whether he went. The first lesson I want us to consider this morning is that when he was called, he obeyed. And I would encourage us to do the same today. When you're called by the gospel, get up and obey. God is calling us through the gospel to get up and go to a different place. This world is not our home. To get up and to go to our heavenly city. And when we're called, obey. Not procrastinate. Not put it off. Not rebel. Not be indifferent. But when he was called, he obeyed. Let's do that. And each day after we respond to the gospel, God continues to call us through His Word to faithful obedience. The second thing we find in verse 9 is that He was willing to be a sojourner. He was willing not to put roots down in this world and in this life, but to transition and always be passing through as a pilgrim and a sojourner, knowing that heaven is my final destination, not this earth. You look at so many people around us where this earth is their final destination. You can tell by their priorities and by their possessions and things such as that nature. They don't care anything about the afterlife. This is their only life. But we're not going to do that. We're going to just pass through this life as a sojourner. Look at verse 9. By faith he became a sojourner in the land of promise, as in a land not yet his own, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. And then the third lesson is, he looked for the city which hath the foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And that's what I want us to do this morning, to keep looking for that heavenly home. It comes up again in verse 16, but now they have desired a better country, that is a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed of them to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. The figure changes a little bit from a home to a city, but the point remains. That's where we want to be. When you're called, obey. Be willing to sojourn and always continue looking for that heavenly city.
I think the whole Bible is basically this sign right here. The entire Bible is this sign. The entire Bible is about pointing us in the direction of going home. When we get up each day, we're making various turns. The Bible is always pointing toward home. Is there anybody here this morning that's going to have trouble finding their home after services? We all know where it is. Is there anybody going to set their GPS on the way out of the church parking lot? 604 Newcastle Road. Where is that? No, we all know where it is. And this book tells us where our home is. We should know where it is. We should know how to get there. And we should be doing that each and every day. We know what home is. All these qualities. Heaven are those same qualities. Let's live in such a way that we can go and be there. Heaven, you know, a lot of people think about heaven being a long way off. In a sense, it's only a step away. It's only a step. That step of obedience each and every day. It's not that far away. We just need to take that step of obedience. And if we can encourage you to do that this morning, why don't you come as we stand and as we sit.